Morning, friends. It's lovely to be with you this morning. We come again to the book of Philippians. And I trust you've got your sermon outline and the Bible study notes and the Bible devotions that I trust will be of help to you. Last time we were together, we were thinking about gospel bonds, the bond that existed between Paul and Timothy, the bond that existed between Paul and the Philippian church, the bond that they shared in grace together, and that Paul longed for the Philippians, to be with them again with the affection of Christ. And we also saw that God was going to complete a work. He was committed to them because the gospel had come to them. It had made a start in their lives. And so this bond had connected the Philippians and with Paul, even though they were separated by a great distance. And just that to highlight that distance for you on this map, you'll see that there's Philippi on the right-hand side there, and in Macedonia there, and Rome all the way over there in Italy. 800 miles separated Paul from his dear friends in Philippi. You'd be thinking as a church that the way Paul could spread the gospel in Rome would be to get him out into the marketplaces and into the public squares and arenas and so on, and to let him go at it. Speak the gospel wherever he would go, into the many people that he could get to. But we see that from a human perspective, this is really a shocker, because Paul is under arrest, under house arrest in Rome. And we understand in these verses today that regardless of this, there is progress for the gospel of Christ. Paul there is under arrest, and around the clock, guards would come on duty, and they would be chained, I think, probably only about 18 inches between each guard that came on and between he and the guard and Paul. The incredible thing is that this took place, we think, for 2 years. And in a sense, it was a one-to-one ministry as Paul spoke of the Lord Jesus Christ to these guards, and it became clear that why he was under arrest. So let's have a look at this this text today from verse 12. So if you have a look at your reading, your notes there, or your Bible, that would be excellent. So as we think about surprising progress, you'll see there that in my first point on the outline, it's confidence and not complaint. Because let's read what Paul says. "Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel." He is not reflecting upon the woe of his circumstances. He's not got cause for complaint, or he's not sort of seeking after sympathy or sharing his upset that he's under arrest. And wouldn't it be better if he was out and going roaming around Rome, as it were? No, he's reflecting with these readers that the gospel, in fact, has progressed. And this is surprising, isn't it? Because no doubt these readers reading the letter would be thinking, gee, what has happened to Paul? Under arrest. Is the gospel going ahead? Well, let's see how it is going ahead. It's a prison ministry in verse 13. "As a result," it says, "it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I'm in chains for Christ." So the guards would come on, and as Paul spoke, the guards became aware that he keeps on talking about this person, Jesus Christ. And then the guards would go off duty, and they would, you know, go into the barracks or wherever they would go, into the palace there where they were allowed. And they would speak to others and tell others about this bloke called Paul. And in fact, maybe some truly became followers of Jesus as they came to believe. These guards were the crack troops. These were the most impressive soldiers of the empire with Paul. And it just is amazing, isn't it, to think that as Paul's desire was to get to Rome, there it is, it's getting right into the heartland of the Roman Empire. It's incredible to think too, isn't it, friends, that our circumstances can be reasons for why we despair and we wonder whether in fact any much progress is happening for the gospel. Wonder about the lack of freedoms that we have at the moment to even meet. which we hope will be lifted soon, or sooner than later. But friends, I want to say that often our circumstances can be a discouragement to us. And we do want to see that wherever God has placed us, in whatever circumstances, that's where he has us, and that's where he wants us to be used. Whether you're a mum at home, whether you're a school teacher in a difficult situation, whether you're just in a difficult job, or health doesn't allow you to do the sorts of things that you would like to be able to do. God places us where he wants us to be, and that's where we need to bloom, where we have been planted. So Paul's ministry is a prison ministry. He's got a captive audience, if you like, and he's trying to promote the gospel wherever he can and whatever opportunity. Throughout the household of Caesar, the gospel is spread. And there's a second way that he wants to encourage his readers in verse 14, where he says, because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. It's become contagious. It's a contagiousness that they're not hesitant. They're not fearing. They're bold because of what Paul is doing in sharing the gospel in his situation. It's very real that he could be facing a trial and losing his life. And so the effect of this upon them has been to promote the gospel. And isn't it true that there have been people over the years, many, one person or two people, who the effect has been enormous in sharing, in the gospel being spread? Don't underestimate by any means your enthusiasm to press on, to keep living for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to keep wanting to make him known in any way, shape or form. Wherever he has placed you, try to make it your aim to be a sharer of the good news of Jesus Christ. And one of the ways, one of the exciting ways that's coming up very soon, next month, is a course we're running for people in our community called Christianity Explored. And this a course will be running over Zoom. It's for anyone. We hope to send out leaflets, and just with the leaflets, there is a container outside the front door of our church. And I'm just encouraging anyone to come to the church and pick up a handful of those leaflets, maybe 20, maybe 50, maybe 75, maybe even 100. Grab some leaflets and just letterbox drop the homes around your area and let people know that we're running Christianity Explored from Monday the 15th of June to the and also starting on Thursday the 18th of June as well, just for an hour. And it might be something that you as well would like to be part of, just to refresh your faith and to renew it through this time of COVID. Come and join us on a Monday or on a Thursday, suit the time that suits you best. But please, we do need that help with the leaflets. So just come and pick up a few leaflets from the church. That'd be a great help as we seek to make the Lord Jesus known through Christianity Explored. He just wants to see the gospel spread, and that's our desire too as a church. We want to see people have opportunity to discover for themselves that Jesus is in fact the Saviour come from them, and to rescue people from the judgment that they are facing without the Saviour. And that is why the gospel is so important, because without Jesus, people are facing having to give account before God of their lives. And they will not have anyone to plead their cause. Lord, we really want people to have opportunity, and God has placed us in our context so that we might share Jesus. So please just make the most of that and get on, get this contagion. Let's share the gospel together in these times. So surprising progress. And then you'll see with me, he's rejoicing in the progress. Let's have a look at verses 15. Let's look at 15. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. Now, again, the theme is progressing the gospel, and he's really talking about here motives. And There are two motives we see here. There are those who are doing it from an envious or a harmful, argumentative way, trying to make life difficult for Paul, trying to make life hard for Paul, trying to promote the gospel but putting Paul down, maligning him. Perhaps they're jealous of the following that he had or the effect that he had been having. Or maybe they were casting doubts about really his authenticity because there he is in prison and, you know, can you really trust him? So Paul seems to be perceptive enough to realise that there are people, sadly, who are wanting to promote the gospel of the Lord Jesus, an envious and a rival spirit. They're there, verse 17, to doing it out of a selfish ambition, it says. That is, that they're in it for their personal gain. They're in it for themselves. They're in it so that their own cause might be promoted, so that they might look good. There's a sort of hypocrisy that they're sort of showing themselves to be something, but in fact, really, they're not the real deal. So that's such a difficult situation. You can imagine if you're in Paul, you'd want to get out there and try to clear your name or try to correct that error, correct that maligning. And it's not as though they weren't speaking the truth about the gospel. He's not talking about that at all. He's talking about their motive. And some of them are doing it from a really harsh and rival motive. But there are those who are doing the spreading of the gospel from love because they know that Paul is truly defending the gospel in his circumstances, that they are with him, that they are sharing genuinely in promoting the gospel and for his good. So motivations in gospel ministry, but Paul is not dwelling on that. He's identifying that perhaps they have heard that there are people who are opposing him, even though they're going about sharing the gospel, but he wants them to know whatever it matters, whatever the circumstances of the situation, whatever the motives, the important thing is what? That the gospel is progressing. Now, friends, we can take on a personal approach of this and think, now, how am I promoting the gospel personally? Or we can take a more group approach or a family approach and think, how are we promoting the gospel ourselves? Or we can take it as an approach as a church. And hasn't it been great being someone who's belonged to this church as we have, that we've seen many ways in which we have tried to promote the gospel into our community? But I want to ask you today to not tire from this. I want to ask you today to keep thinking that God has placed us where he has in these times, in these circumstances. How can we promote this gospel and be of use and do it from a motivation because we are sharers of grace and we want to defend this gospel to people who need to know about Jesus? Because he says in verse 18, what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether it's by a false motive or true motive, what's the reaction from Paul? The reaction is, I rejoice. Why does he rejoice? Because Christ is preached. Loyalty to others helps us to persevere through hard times. Loyalty from others helps us to know that we can press on. When people come alongside you and continue with you in the cause of the gospel, that is a great gift from God. Encouragement and partnership in the gospel is a great gift that God gives. But Paul is so thankful because no matter whether he's on his own, no matter whether he's in chains, no matter he is free to roam, no matter whether he is with Timothy and they can go here and there, no matter what the circumstances, in every way, Christ is preached. Living for the Lord Jesus Christ, living for this truth to be shared with people around us. These are great opportunities, aren't they? The days that we live in. Let's make the most of them. Well, he's rejoicing in the gospel and proclaiming it matters. And God has got it all worked out. God has got it all in hand. God will use the speaking of his word to achieve what he wants. And then finally, friends, verses 19 to 20, the pillar of God's sovereignty. And it's as though Paul slept well at night. He kept trusting that God is sovereign over all things, because this is what he says in verse 18 going into verse 20. He says, yes, and I will continue to rejoice. He says, this is just not a very short-term thing. He's committed, isn't he? And gospel joy is something that he longs for and wants. He says, therefore, I know that through your prayers, and here's the theme of partnership again, isn't it? Through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, he knows that what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. It's interesting, isn't it, that Paul really values, really appreciates, really longs that God is hearing the prayers of the Philippian Christians, and how that must have encouraged them. And isn't it true? Don't you know it's true, friends, that when people say that they are praying for you and they mean it, what an encouraging thing that is as you continue to do ministries and service to the Lord Jesus Christ. God will use the prayers of the Philippians to bring about his deliverance, literally his salvation. It's either going to be deliverance from the arrest that he's in, and then he can go free, or it'll be deliverance where he will be able to go and be with his Saviour through death. He knows that God will hear the prayers, that God is at work using the prayers. And that is one of the marvellous things in the Christian life, isn't it, friends, that there's the sovereignty of God, that there is nothing outside his control, that all things work for the good of those who love God. God has us in the centre of the palm of his hand, and yet he uses the prayers of his people to bring about his sovereign purposes. That's an incredible thought, isn't it? That we have a part, a responsibility to be of praying for one another, praying for the spread of the gospel. This gives him joy. And it is a joy, friends, isn't it, when we know that God is in control, that God is for us in Christ Jesus. So Paul can lay his head on the pillow of God's sovereignty. And friends, let's do that. Let's do that every day. Let's rest in the sovereignty of God, in the things that we are facing as we serve the Lord together. It's a most comforting truth that we share. And then finally, verse 20, he will not be ashamed. I eagerly expect and hope that I will not be ashamed. You see, a day is going to come where he's going to stand in the court of Caesar, and he's going to have to give an account. He's going to have to give a defense. He's going to have to speak words that give a defense for why he's on trial. He says, I eagerly expect and hope that I won't be ashamed, that he's not going to back down. He's not going to shrink down. He's not going to lack courage on that day. But it says that I will have sufficient courage. I won't be ashamed. I will have sufficient courage there, it says, so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. It's as though he's stretching his head out. He's stretching his neck, and he's sort of trying to peer into the future. And he has this confidence as he looks, an expectation that he's not going to be ashamed, that he is going to be able to stand firm, because the Philippians are praying for him, because the Spirit of God is going to enable him to speak the words at that moment, at that time. There's a confidence that he knows that his Lord and Saviour will be with him. Because what matters to Paul in his life is what? At the end of that verse, that Christ will be exalted in my body. Isn't that something we all desire, friends? Don't we desire that the Lord Jesus would live in us because we live in him? That we would die to ourselves, that we would live for the cause of Christ, that we would want to encourage others in that and be partners together and to have this progress of the gospel going forward. I just want to encourage us all today that the gospel, for living for the gospel, is worth every minute of your day. Living for Christ, wherever he has put you, and to share him, to see others as those who need to know about Jesus and to love them so much that we would share not only the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, but also our lives as well, as we're able to do that. Without the chains of Paul, the church would be weaker. Without his imprisonment, Caesar's household would be like a hellhole. Without the incarceration of Paul, those Christians at Rome wouldn't be talking openly about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But because of his chains, that Praetorian guard of soldiers is now becoming soldiers of Christ. God's word is like a contagion throughout Caesar's household, and the saints in Caesar's household, in this letter of Philippians, are sending greetings now to the Philippian church. Because of Paul's chains, the Christians are out there on the street witnessing to the Lord at Rome. The church of Rome has a fire in the belly to speak of God's word without fear of man. You know, one believer on fire for Christ can embolden thousands. We think of Luther, we think of Whitfield, we think of Susanna Wesley, we think of J.C. Ryle. There are countless others. Friends, what about you? What about you? What about you and me? Let's be people who want to progress the gospel. Let's be encouraged and encourage one another. It's a great cause. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, would you please do a wonderful work in our lives? Let us live for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ wherever you have placed us, whatever it is that you want us to do. Lord, may that grip us and control us so that Christ, Lord Jesus, you would be exalted in our bodies, whether we live or whether we die. How I thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen.